Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get straight to the action. It's hour number two of the early line right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by Donnie Wrightside. We've got 16 games to preview, as well as a pick six dedicated to today's slate, plus letting you know who the national champions are going to be, who we believe at least will be the national champs for the NCAA tournament. Donnie, we have the number one seeds in action today. Three out of the four are playing. Let's try and hit these games to open up here this hour. We'll start with Kansas and Howard. KU, as anticipated, big favorite laying 20 plus here against the Bison, 22 and a half to be specific. Totals 145 and a half. How do you line it up?
Yeah, these are tough games to line up. Now, I preface this by saying, like, you try to look at what's happened in the past with 1-16 seeds. They're usually blowouts, and rightfully so. Some of the better teams in college basketball playing teams that have no business getting in, but they won their conference tournament, and here they show up. But I got to tell you, like, back in the day, like, Kentucky's used to line up in round one, Kevin, like minus 37, minus 38 and a half. So at least it looks like some of these lower level teams are getting better, or is it the upper level teams don't have as much talent as they used to have in the past? Maybe guys leaving early, which they didn't before, and that's why you have those 40-point blowouts. Mm-hmm. It's very hard for me to take, because if I'm looking honestly at these games, if you want to take a favorite, which Kansas, again, much better than Howard, do you just take them in the first half figuring that they're just going to step on them and be up 20 or so at the break and get the cover? Why are we worried about the last 7 minutes of the game when Kansas is letting their managers play just to say they played in a tournament basketball game, but Howard is still playing hard? It's so hard. And I saw how we lined up these things because we're going over the blowouts first. There's really not much of a handicap. It's just the level of play you feel that you're going to get. Kansas should walk over Howard. But are you willing to lay that many points here when you know Kansas doesn't care if they win by 5, 10, 15, 20, or 40 points at this point? If I'm betting Kansas as the favorite, I'm taking them in the first half, because it wouldn't be surprising, Kevin. 37-16 at the break, Kansas, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
For me, I like this game. I'm taking Howard. Yes, you have to go off of sample sizes that aren't the biggest. And yeah, they go back to November times, Donnie. But Kansas has five games this year where they laid over 20 points. They only covered one of those games. This has not been a spot to back Kansas throughout this season. I'm going to take the Bison plus the 22 and a half to cover here against Kansas, who, when they've been in this spot throughout this season, it has not been step up, run out, and blow a team out here. I think Howard hangs a little bit. Alabama, the team that you have coming out of the South and the number one overall seed in this tournament, goes up against a play-in winner, Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Alabama is a 23.5-point favorite. The total for this one is 154.5. Huge, huge total there with the Crimson Tide in action, Donnie. Any juice on that over?
Yeah, you look at the 154.5, and I'm not worried at all about what Alabama's going to do on offense here. What you are worried about is Texas A&M Corpus Christi does play with a little bit of tempo. They do foul a lot, so you figure that it's going to be an up-and-down type game. Well, the question is, Texas A&M Corpus Christi going up against that Alabama defense, that's the issue that you have. So this game could turn out to be an absolute wild blowout. If I'm looking, let's just say the two games we just did, Kansas to blow out Howard, or more than likely Alabama to blow out Corpus Christi, it's probably Alabama and Corpus Christi, because they're going to want to get out of there in tempo. And also, Kevin, we know if we take a look at Alabama, top 10 in the nation at volume from three-point range. If you take a look here over on the defensive side for Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 305 in the nation, Kevin, at letting you shoot the three-point shot. Woohoo! We're getting a blowout today by Alabama.
Yeah, I totally agree. Radio audiences here on a Thursday morning, the early line, Sirius XM channel 159. We saw A&M Corpus Christi, Donnie, play three teams that were in the power conferences. They didn't cover any of those games. They got smashed. Yeah. Mississippi State beat them by 19. Arizona beat them by a small margin of 38 points. And then Oklahoma State beat this team by 23 points. Alabama should win this by 30-plus here today, and that's exactly what I am anticipating. And then we've got Houston in range here against Northern Kentucky. We're a little light in the props department, as we don't have official word yet on Marcus Sasser. Houston's a 17.5-point favorite. I have to, you know how I get, Donnie. Look how, you know how good Houston is. Look at that total, 121.5. I mean, I just start looking at that total, I start barking. Yeah, and I know you were going to start saying under, man. I knew you were going to say under, man. I know I'm going to get myself in some trouble.
I mean, Houston's defense, top five in the country in efficiency, but also when you have a look at that spot where they defend the three-point shot and inside the arc, and here's the problem. You're taking a look at Northern Kentucky. They love to shoot the three-point shot. Well, number two, and not Kevin in their conference in the American, number two in the nation at defending the three-point line. It's one of those where I see that under 121 and think it stays there, but also then that means, does Northern Kentucky even get into the 50s in this game? I'm not so sure they do.
Look, here's the thing. Northern Kentucky's look games against tournament teams. Yeah, which is tough. But so they played Kent State, right, who's a 13 seed. They lost by 22. They played FAU, who's a 9 seed, and lost by 15. And that's the tournament teams that Northern Kentucky played this season, right? I mean, they did beat Cincinnati, if you want to try and, you know, obviously within the American there. But this is a spot where Houston should dominate. The offensive glass against a zone team here will certainly be in their favor. That's the one seed. Let's get to some games, though, where the competition should be a bit tighter. Again, 16 to preview. That's three down, 13 more to go. It's the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's keep things moving here. There's a lot to get to. We start now to get into some more competitive action after we were able to break down the one seeds here. We mentioned Alabama and their game against A&M Corpus Christi. Assuming Alabama is able to avoid complete and utter disaster, they will play the winner of Maryland and West Virginia. An 8-9 game here where the 8th seed is an underdog as the Terps catch 2.5 points from the Mountaineers. Total here, 137.5. What do you like here in this game?
Yeah, maybe the game of the day, Kevin, right off the top today on a Thursday, 12:15 Eastern tip time there from Birmingham, Alabama. And this is one of those games, Kevin, I have to be honest with you. When the pools come out, I didn't give it all that much thought because you're not really breaking down game by game. You're just trying to get a feel for the tournament. And every pool and every option that went over always had West Virginia over Maryland. But the more I take a look at this game, I'm not saying West Virginia isn't going to win because I still went with them. But we're looking at two teams here, very similar. But also what you have to weigh in is, what about the competition level? Do we knock West Virginia because they didn't win enough basketball games? Or do we promote them because they played in a much tougher conference than Maryland actually did? If we're looking from a defensive side, Maryland's pretty good, top 35. West Virginia, top 52. But again, is that because of how tough the competition was for the Big 12 as opposed to what Maryland was facing on a night-to-night basis? What might actually come down to it here, Kevin, as a knock on West Virginia is the fouling. 317th in the nation at fouling per possession. That's West Virginia. If we flip it over to Maryland, they're 86th in the nation, so don't foul nearly as much. Three-point shots comparable, defense is comparable. This might be a fantastic game to play out, but I'm going to go with my initial lean of West Virginia, even though it looks like a true coin flip to me.
You know, the one thing with this game here is this game will be very important for me the rest of the tournament in terms of how I can apply certain trends. Maryland is 9-2 to the under this year, Donnie, when booked as an underdog, right? Those are almost all away games, though. So is that about the offense not being able to travel on the road? Is that about a true road environment? You know, similarly, right, West Virginia, 14-5 to the over as a favorite. 12-5, though, when they were at home. So a lot of that's when West Virginia's home. How does that travel to a neutral site here? This game is a very difficult one. That's what you expect from an 8-9. I think the one thing that is worth mentioning, though, and again, it's a small sample size of just three games before you start to factor in the Big Ten tournament, which would then, you know, bring it up to five, so that's fine. Maryland was 4-1 against the number this year when playing on a neutral court. They had a rout over St. Louis, beat up on Miami early season, covered against Tennessee in a loss, and then they had a rout of Minnesota in the opening game that they played in the Big Ten tournament, and then they had their double-digit loss to Indiana. But we have seen Maryland play well on a neutral site. Tough, tough game. I do lean towards an over, but it's a very, very tough game there in that 8-9. I do believe my bracket has, similar to you, often favored the West Virginia Mountaineers moving on. Virginia Furman, this is one of the – look, man, I'll tell you this right now. As an Iona Gale, to know that there are folks out there getting Virginia and we're getting UConn upsets me, grinds my gears, in fact. Iona is better than Furman, and we're a double-digit underdog. Furman's a 5.5-point underdog. Speaks volumes, Donnie. Could it be so easy to pick a 13 seed to win outright here in Furman?
I mean, it could be. I mean, you want to take a look. Like, we've never seen Iona play this well, and it's such a shame that they finally got to the tournament after matching against a team like UConn and Albany. But we'll get to that game in a little bit. Let's take a look today. Furman and Virginia. Now, on my bracket, I have Virginia advancing. But this is one of those, Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend, because when you take a look here, there's going to be limited possessions because that's what Virginia wants to do. What's the ultimate equalizer, Kevin, in that instance? A team that can knock down the three-point shot and shoots from volume from three-point range, which is exactly what Furman does. Even if we're looking at effective field goal percentage on KenPom, top 10 in the nation, that is Furman. So if you're playing, let's just say, Furman, Alabama, you're going to have way more possessions for Alabama to sort of get it going, right? That's not the case for Virginia. If they don't play all that well on offense, Furman is going to be hanging around. They're getting 5.5 points. I think that is legitimate here. And I do think it comes down to three-point shots. But also, how about this, Kevin? You'd be surprised by this. Furman, number one in the nation at shooting percentage inside the arc at 59%, which is really impressive. Now, their point distribution is 306 in the country inside the arc, which means they do like to rely on the three-point shot, but it's always nice to know that it's just not a formality. Oh, either we shoot the three-point shot and make it, or we can't do anything else. They have some things that can really frustrate Virginia, and in a limited environment, like a blowout for Virginia's, Kevin, like winning by 9 points here. I'll take the 5.5. I do think Virginia wins, but this is one of those games I looked at going, this could be a legitimate upset chance here for Furman. I'll take him with the 5.5 points.
I think it's a great move. I would do the same. One of my favorite bets for today is the Furman team total over. Virginia has played 6 games against teams that are inside the top 40 in offensive efficiency. Furman is 33rd in offensive efficiency. Every single one of the teams that Virginia has played that is inside the top 40 in offensive efficiency has gone over their team total. And most of them, 10 points clear of that number. Miami, Pitt, Vatek, twice, Baylor, and Houston. All of those teams getting over their numbers. Give me Furman's team total, Donnie, of 63.5 to the over against Virginia. Mizzou, Utah State. This is a really, really fun game. First of all, look at that total.
Good. Mwah.
Beautiful. Yeah. We love to see that. 155.5. The 10 seed's a favorite, though, in the Aggies here. And is this a spot, Donnie, where people are just going to bet on conference? Forget the names. It doesn't matter. Are there going to people say, I've got an SEC team as an underdog here against the Mountain West? How do you line it up here in a 7-10 game?
I actually like Utah State. I think they do advance here. But here's okay. I hate the fact that I have to bring this point up because I love the fact it's 155.5. Say, oh, why is it so high? What makes sense? Two really good offenses that absolutely fire from three-point range and two teams that don't defend it all that well. So we should have some fun. But look at the start time, Kevin. 1:40 p.m. You say, what do you mean, Donnie? You guys just talked about a 12:15 start. Let's remind ourselves. This is in Sacramento, California, where this game's tipping off. 10:40 a.m.? 10:40 a.m. Not to say everybody's going to be thrown off, but come on now. That is an early start for both of these teams. Like, even if you're all used to playing on the West Coast, you're not playing until the afternoon or 12:30 at earliest. That might throw a little bit of a wrench into where if you do see a slower start in the first half, what are most people going to say? Well, that's what you get when you start a game at 10:40. Mm-hmm. What are these kids up at 6 a.m. trying to get prepped and get on the bus, get some breakfast, and all of a sudden playing in the biggest game of their lives in the NCAA tournament at 10:40 a.m.? It's interesting that that start time was early, but Utah State, what they do well, just about everything. Effective field goal percentage, knocking their top 10 in the country at making a three-point shot at close to 39%. But also, Kevin, when you're taking a look here at what makes sense, Missouri's defense, 347th in the country on defending and chasing you off of the three-point line. That's going to be the difference today. I'll take Utah State. But one of those, again, where you're lining up saying SEC versus a, you know, Power Five, non-Power Five conference, gives you a little bit of pause here because one of those teams in Nevada didn't even show up against its Power Five school yesterday.
Look, here's the thing, though. Missouri is 10th in offensive efficiency. They are 179th on defense. So there are 64 teams remaining. Missouri has the sixth worst defense in the field. That includes 16 seeds, 15 seeds. Mm-hmm. Mizzou has big wins this year, Donnie, right? Tennessee, yeah, twice. They've got Iowa State. It's not surprising that their bigger wins came against teams that are more defensively driven because they can get out and take advantage with their elite offense here. Utah State is a great offense. Utah State should have the ability to take advantage of this basketball team's poor defense here. Again, you want to play it a little closer to the vest and go with a team total for the Aggies as opposed to laying your, you know, a short number. I understand that, but Utah State should have no issues scoring here. 13th best offense in college basketball in five games in the Mountain West that they played against teams that are outside of the top 150 in defensive efficiency. Four of those saw their team total go over. Could be more of the same against the Tigers. We still have a lot to preview. It's a busy day. It's a packed day here on a Thursday. We keep letting it rip on the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep this thing pushing. San Diego will take Charles. There's no time to waste here. This is a 5-12 game. This has been one of the popular upset picks. I've gone back and forth on this one. It's difficult. San Diego State is one of the best defenses in college basketball. We know that, right? Charleston likes to run, so we know that as well. San Diego State, Nani, has now played three games against teams that are top 30 in pace in Arizona and then two of them that they played against New Mexico. They did not cover in any of those games. However, both New Mexico and Arizona are better on the offensive side of the basketball than Charleston is. So will the tempo for Charleston be enough here to throw San Diego State off their game and for Charleston to pull the outright upset?
I don't think so here. And hear me out. Charleston is a really good basketball team. They got here. It's a great matchup. It's 5 versus 12. You get all of that. But San Diego State's sort of built for this. And as I said also when I saw the brackets come out, Kevin, I thought it was a shame that Charleston actually got San Diego State. Not the fact that it wasn't a good matchup and they couldn't win the basketball game, but I love teams like Charleston going against a true Power 5 team where, let's just say they went up against an Iowa or something like that. Like, boy, they're going to knock off Iowa. They have the moxie. But San Diego State does exactly what Charleston doesn't want to confuse them with, right? Shooting the three-point shot. Isn't it so simple as that? If I'm looking at the game itself, let's start here. Do I like a side per se? I think San Diego State wins, but I'm actually going to be betting the side in a game. Naturally, I'm going to take a look at the under. Why? Take a look at this. San Diego State's defense, top 10 overall, Kevin, here, nationally. Fantastic stuff. They're going to play hard-nosed defense inside and out. But look at the three-point shots here. top 10 in the country, actually number 7 overall. 29% they give up from three-point range. Why is that important? Charleston, top 10 overall at volume from three-point range. But then again, if we flip it over to San Diego State and what they can do on offense, they like to shoot the three-point shot a little bit, but also take a look at this, a top 20 defense at defending the three-point line. It is actually Charleston, and also a top 35 team at chasing you off the three-point line. For me, teams have to shoot the three-point shot with effectiveness and volume to hit totals. I'm going to take the under in this basketball game here.
All right. I'll trust that look. I'll add this quickly for Charleston. They do have a lot of experience playing slow teams. There are six teams in the Colonial that are outside of the top 250 in pace, which is where San Diego State is at 252. So again, just because this game is a lot about pace, this is not new for Charleston. Obviously, nobody in the CAA is showing up with a top 10 defense like San Diego State, but just trying to give that full perspective, Donnie, here. Next game, look, we're not going to do the rant. We do these on Moneyline. Arizona Princeton, it's the number 2 team in a region. It's a top 10 team in college basketball. I'm sat here in New Jersey. I can't bet Arizona Princeton. It's a joke. It's embarrassing. It's annoying. No, the fact that Princeton fans can't bet on their team in a tournament game is a joke. It's embarrassing, and it shouldn't be the case. But, Donnie, for those that do get the pleasure of betting on Arizona Princeton, it's a 14.5 point line. It's a total to bounce above $1.50 here. What should they do if they can bet on Arizona Princeton?
Looking towards Arizona. Now, if we date back to the 1990s, win of the Ivy League, which was Princeton quite a bit there under Pete Carril, you would get there and say, okay, what's going to happen in this game? Well, the shot clocks are much larger. The time is much longer than it was back in the 1990s. All they would do is run back cut, try to get a layup with 1 second left to go on the clock. They don't do that anymore. They're much more, and I'm saying they're a top 10 tempo team, but they're not 358th in the nation. If they're going to play with a little bit of tempo, Arizona's going to run them off the court. But again, here in New Jersey, we can't bet it. And thank goodness, it might save people from Princeton a little bit of cash here. I think Arizona runs away with this one. I do.
All right, fair enough there. Let's keep this moving along here because, again, there are so many games that we have to get to. Arkansas, Illinois. This is a fun one here. 8-9 game. Winner gets Kansas. And a lot of people believe, Donnie, that when you start matching up which one seeds could be vulnerable, one of the reasons that people believe Kansas could be vulnerable is how they specifically match up with the Razorbacks. But it is a sharp line here for those Razorbacks against the Illini, just 1.5. Total for this one's 143 and a hook. Do you think that the advantage here is for Arkansas in this round in the 8-9 game?
I do. It's almost like I'm fading a little bit of the Big Ten in this tournament. Now, Illinois, good basketball team, but I do think Arkansas is a better overall team here. Top 20 on defensive efficiency in the nation. Effective field goal percentage also around that top 20 range. But also, let's get to it. You still have to shoot the three-point shot, Kevin. You can't just say we're just going to go inside and we're going to live and die inside the paint. In order to advance as a lower seed, which basically Illinois is going to be if they advance even against Arkansas for the rest of the way, 330th in the nation at shooting the three-point shot at only 31% here. But also the interesting part is, Kevin, they're in the top 65 at actually volume from three-point range, so they can't shoot it, but they shoot it a ton. And then you say to yourself, okay, well, Arkansas defense actually fouls. They're very aggressive on defense. You can get some easy points from the free throw line. 308th in the country at making free throws here at only 68% as a team. That certainly doesn't match up. But as you see the total in there, hovering in that low 140 range, usually when I take a look at totals, it's tempo, yes, but also I seem to find myself on how do they match up from three-point range? Because the scary environment is, hey, this team shoots really well from three. The other team doesn't defend it all that well and let you shoot it. That's usually disaster mode if you're looking to take an under. But take a look at this, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Arkansas's defense at defending the three-point shot, 24th in the country, but also 11th in the country at not letting you shoot the three-point shot. Flip over to Illinois. They only give up 33% from the three-point line, Kevin, but also this, 21st in the country at chasing you off of the three-point line. I'll live with an under in this game.
You know what's funny? That makes me feel great. but I have it more specific on just the Illinois team total under. With Arkansas being the 17th best defense in college basketball, the Illini have really struggled against elite defenses. Under 71.5 is that number. Under both times against Northwestern, under against Rutgers. They had an over against Texas, but because of overtime. Before the overtime period, that was an under as well. They did get one over early season against UCLA, but that's really the only one. That's against teams that are in the top 20. You want to take a top 35, under against Maryland, under against Purdue, and a split in games against Wisconsin there. So I've got that Illini team total under here in this game between Arkansas and Illinois. Iowa-Auburn. Another big-time total here, DRS, of 151.5 in the 8-9 game here. Winner plays Houston, and who have I become? This is another undershot for me. Auburn has played three games against teams that are inside the top 20 in scoring efficiency. They've all gone under. Let's add Vanderbilt in there, who's 22nd, and all four have gone under. It's not a massive sample size, but when the Tigers play elite offenses and you get these big totals, they go under the number. 151.5 for me, too big in an Auburn game. I've got Iowa-Auburn under 151.5.
Simple for me. If I'm looking at a tournament game, it's Iowa and Auburn. Where are they playing? In the state of Alabama. And if anybody doesn't know, Auburn is in Alabama. You should have a fan perspective go your direction. But also, we know Iowa's sensational on offense, Kevin. But a lot of good teams are around here in the NCAA tournament on offense. But also, you must bring the defense. And Auburn is going to do that here. Effective field goal percentage in the country for them on defense. Talking about Auburn, Kevin, 12th. How about Iowa? 308th in the nation. When you take a look at Iowa, very fluid on offense. Don't turn the basketball over. Top five in the country defending the three-point line. The Auburn Tigers only giving up close to 29% from three-point range. Here's the issue that you need Iowa to take advantage of. They got to get to the free throw line. When you take a look at Auburn's numbers here, 330th in the nation at fouling per possession on defense. That might be the silver lining for Iowa. But if I'm just looking at this honestly, de facto home game for Auburn here, and also, they're going to bring the defense. I'll trust Auburn to get the victory over Iowa.
I have seen a lot of conversations online that Alabama fans are saying that they're going to show up and support Iowa for the rivalry, which that could actually be, Donnie, one of the best atmospheres today, Iowa-Auburn. I really am looking forward to that game. Let's get Duke Oral Roberts in here. It's a 5-12 game. Duke wins the ACC. The line, though, has continued to shrink in this basketball game as Oral Roberts was one of those 12 seeds that people thought would be dangerous, and this 6.5 line suggests that they will be. Total here, 145.5. And I'm sure many people will remember the Oral Roberts run from just a couple of years back. Well, the star of that run, Max Asemus, is still on this team, right?
Yeah.
I like Max Asemus under Donnie, his prop. 22.5. Right now I see 21.5. It might climb back up, trying to obviously get the best of that number there. But this is a Duke defense that is top 25 in college basketball, and the best defenses in college, when Oral Roberts has seen them, have been able to take him out of his game. Duke knows that they need to focus on Asemus. I like his under points prop here in this 5-12 game.
I like that. Fading a superstar that everybody's probably looking forward to. Why Oral Roberts is going to win is because Asemus is going to have a really good basketball game. Now, they're very good on offense, Oral Roberts. Don't get me wrong. Effective field goal percentage, 7th in the country. They don't turn the basketball over. That's typically what wins. They shoot the three-point shot. They shoot inside the arc. Top 10 in the nation at making the free throws. But again, Oral Roberts doesn't play at a level that the Duke Blue Devils play, even though the ACC was down this year. Here's where you're going to get yourself in a little bit of trouble. I like the under, but it might be so simple, Kevin. Again, you just can't teach size. 2 7-footers are going to be roaming around out there for the Duke Blue Devils. But the reason I like the under the most here is not because both of these offenses can't light it up. Take a look at the fouling situations. Oral Roberts on defense, Kevin, 6th overall in the nation at not fouling and putting on the free throw line. Take a look at Duke's defense here, 16th in the nation at not fouling per possession. And also, if we take a look at Oral Roberts on offense, Kevin, getting to the free throw line, 345th in the nation. So the fact that they shoot 78% as a team, how effective that can be, Kevin, if you can't get to the free throw line. Give me the under.
And another awesome breakdown there, DRS. Couple of unders on this board today. We still got 4 or 5 games to get to, a pick six, national champions. We're moving quick. We're making it happen right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen. We've got Texas Colgate to get to. You know, we try and think about where teams could be vulnerable. I'd be very surprised if Texas is not able to handle their business against Colgate. But that 13.5 point line, Donnie, suggests that the champs out of the Patriot League could maybe make this thing a little tangy. How do you match it up here with Texas and Colgate?
I got to tell you, this is really interesting here. Now, I have Texas going a long way. Texas isn't losing to Colgate, but another one of those where don't be surprised if Colgate is hanging around the break like, hey, they're within a couple possessions. Because the reason being is, you take a look at a Big 12 conference going up against the Patriot League, it doesn't even compare. Yeah. But when you take a look at effective field goal percentage, you say, oh, they're top 20 in the country. No. Colgate's number one overall. Why is that, Kevin? 41% as a team, not for the league, for the entire season, Colgate, number one in the nation, inside the arc, seventh overall. How does that translate? If they can get hot and be efficient, you're always going to be in the game if you shoot that well. Now, granted, Texas might just be able to blow them out. I hear you. But don't be surprised, K-Dub, if Colgate is hanging around and you're just checking scores at night in the 7 o'clock games. Oh, hold on now. Colgate had the lead against Texas. Is that wrong? Don't be surprised in the first half if Colgate can get out hot and knock down a couple three-point shots.
It would be a shame to see, because I know you like Texas going far. I've bet them to make the Sweet 16. Texas has only lost one time, though, to a team outside of the top 35 on KenPom, and that was Texas Tech, who's 61st. If they lose to Colgate, who's outside of the top 100, that would be a real disaster. Let's get to a 7-10 game here between Northwestern and Boise State. This, listen, 127.5. I've seen this movie before, DRS. You're going to line this up, and you're going to tell me, get ready for a low, low-scoring basketball game.
I mean, it's the way it lines up, because forget about Northwestern on defense, who is very good, Kevin. Top 15 in the country in efficiency here, so they line up. But Boise State's defense, top 20. Also, take a look at this. Three-point shots. Northwestern likes to shoot them. Boise State likes to defend them. Inside the arc, 314th in the nation at only 46.5% Northwestern. How does that line up? Boise State's in the top 75. This game, again, I have Boise State. And I feel like, I hope I didn't misread the Mountain West Conference here. So I'm putting a lot of stock in them and a lot of fades here in the Big Ten. It feels like this game is more of a coin flip to me, but also Boise State, West Coast team playing out in Sacramento. Not to say Boise State's going to fill up the arena, but maybe just a little bit closer, obviously, than Northwestern in the Chicago area. That's the way I lean with this. I'm not strong on it, but I'm just using the Mountain West as maybe I think they're better than they are, but last night scared me a little bit. I'll take Boise State, but again, one of those true coin flips for me.
I hear you on that. Both of these defenses are top 20 in college basketball. Boise, when they played San Diego State, who's also top 20, double unders. Northwestern was able to see 4 out of the 6 games that they played against top 30 defenses go under 127.5. One of those unders actually had less than 127.5. So basically 5 out of the 6 games, the number's climbing up. It's now 128.5 here, so this could be an under spot to take a look at. Tennessee, Louisiana, this is the survivor pick of the day. People taking the Vols. People are going to expect the Vols to lose their next game against the Duke Blue Devils. They lay double digits to Louisiana here. Tennessee's lost a lot of steam as the season has carried on. Do you trust them in this spot against the Raging Cajuns?
I do trust them to win. Do I want to necessarily lay the 10.5 points? Not really. I see the total there listed at 136.5. Here's the difference. When you take a look at a team like Louisiana, you say, well, how do you want to match up in this game? Well, it's the Sun Belt Conference, Kevin, against the SEC, so certainly you're at a disadvantage right away. But also you're talking about one of the elite defenses in the country, number 2 overall in efficiency, number 2 overall in effective field goal percentage. They turn you over. And also, Kevin, when you're looking for the underdog and you're looking for an upset, or you're looking to stay within double digits here just to hang around, you got to be able to make the three-point shot. That's the ultimate equalizer. Well, not so good here for Louisiana. Why? Tennessee, Kevin, number 1 in the nation at defending the three-point line. So you figure it gets easier inside, top 12 here at defending inside the arc. Tennessee is going to win. I'm not going to bet this game. But if you're looking for a Sun Belt upset, I don't know if it's coming here because you need to take advantage of the three-point line, and Tennessee just doesn't allow you to do that.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to like Vescovi on this team to knock down some triples. Over 2.5 is the mark there. Since the absence of Ziegler, we've seen that come in consistently, and that volume that we always covet is there. A&M Penn State, DRS, this is your game here. You've been excited to get to this one. But we can. Do you want to do it now, or do we do it in the pick six? You want to just rip through it right now, and then we'll emphasize it in the pick six?
We'll
or do it in the pick six?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me
go
know
for
my
it,
pick
all
six.
You.
Yeah, there's six picks, each about 3 seconds apiece, so we might as well slow it down here. Penn State, Texas A&M, two really good basketball teams. I like Texas A&M, don't get me wrong, but Penn State is one of those teams that you start to pay attention more and more once you take a look at the numbers. Not the way they played in the regular season, which was fine in the Big Ten, and I told you, Kevin, this is where you have to flip the script sometimes. I've been fading the Big Ten, it feels like, all the way through, not on Penn State. Now, granted, I hope they win this first round and then quickly drop out of the tournament because that'll help my brackets and help my future bets. But just on this game alone, how many times have I broken down games this morning, Kevin, where I talk about if you want to win, you got to be able to shoot the three-point shot because that's the ultimate equalizer. Now, granted, Penn State's not playing a Texas A&M team where A&M's favored by 13.5 and they just want to stick around. I actually think they're the better basketball team. Top 20 in the country in efficiency, top 12 in the country here in effective field goal percentage. They don't turn the basketball over, but my favorite thing is, Kevin, they're top 10 in the nation at shooting the three-point shot and converting it at close to 39% as a team. Now, sometimes you say, okay, they're probably picking and choosing their spots here from three-point range. That's not Penn State. They fire from all over the place, Kevin. They're top 10 in the nation at three-point shots per possession. So if I get top 10 it makes, top 10 it takes, that's impressive stuff. And I'm not saying that means it's a guarantee to win the game. But all we know, you've watched basketball for a long time, Kevin. If one team is shooting the three-point shot and making it above their average and shooting a lot of them, that's going to put the other team in peril. It's almost like it doesn't matter what they do. I preface this by saying A&M is a really good ball club. I just think Penn State, for a tournament, the way they play basketball, they're dangerous. I'll take the points in this game at the 2.5.
Look, for me, if A&M loses, I get very worried about the SEC. And that doesn't mean I think that I hear the breakdown. The SEC, there's not that many elite offenses there. Some of the defensive numbers might be a little pumped up. We'll see how that plays out. Look, last note for me in terms of UCLA, UNC, Asheville, Donnie, the Jalen Clark injury has been discussed a lot. Small sample size. He's only missed four games this season. We have seen Tiger Campbell's assist numbers climb in those games. 6+ assists in 3 out of 4. That number for assists today for Tiger Campbell is 4.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Anything else that you're looking for in UCLA and UNC Asheville?
Going to be a tough one for Asheville. Why is that? You're talking about a team that's long and lengthy and plays defense. We're not talking about a top 20 defensive team, the best defensive team in the nation for efficiency at KenPom. Also, you're taking a look at a team that defends a three-point line. But again, take a look at UNC Asheville. If you want to hang around, if you want to cover spreads that are close to 20 points, shoot the three-point shot, Kevin. Sixth in the nation at doing that here, close to 39%. Now, as we said that, USC is really good, really talented, and really long. It's going to be tough for them to do it, but those are the saving graces. If Asheville couldn't shoot the three-point shot, you'd figure they would just get blown out. Now, also, UCLA is top 11 in the nation at forcing turnovers. That doesn't bode well for Asheville, 298th at turning the basketball over. So in order to shoot a three-point shot, Kevin, you have to keep the basketball in order to do that. I don't know if they can. Looks like a blowout on the horizon. But again, that slight silver lining, they do shoot the three-point shot pretty well. And if they can knock a couple down, maybe hang around.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're going to rip through the pick six, but before we do that, I do want to do this. We gave you the final four in hour number one as to who we think will be there, who we think is winning, how we finished out the brackets. For me, DRS, double one seeds in the game. I'm going with Houston and Purdue. I do think Houston is the best team in college basketball. I think the fact that they're playing the final four in Houston is only an added bonus. Here's the funny thing about this. I'm not betting them, though, at 5-1. I'm not getting enough. There, as I've said, them to make the Elite Eight is my favorite in terms of how I want to bet Houston, but that is who I believe cuts the Nets down in a win over Purdue in the national championship game.
Yeah, it boils down for me. Alabama's going to come out there in the Final Four as one leg. Marquette's going to match up with them on the opposite side. It's going to be Texas versus UConn. My championship game is going to be Alabama versus Texas, with Alabama cutting the nets down here. My futures in the tournament to win it all, Kevin, line up exactly here with my Final Four. Alabama 8-1, Marquette 25-1, UConn 25-1, and Texas 20-1. So some long shots in there. A lot of fun to have. If any one of those teams cut the nets down, I'm going to be pretty profitable and a happy young man here when it all ends.
Yeah, you certainly will. I grabbed Purdue and Kansas at that 12-1 range, as I thought that both those two one seeds there presented value on the board. Let's run through it down to the pick six. Here's how we lined it up: an underdog, a favorite, an over, an under, and two props that you want to get involved with here today. DRS, the floor is yours. The Thursday pick six here for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's great stuff because we actually have a double edition of these pick sixes, one today, one tomorrow. Let's have some fun with it and keep it quick here. You guys know I like Penn State. I'm taking them with the 2.5 points matching up against A&M. I like their matchup. I think it makes sense. It's a short line here. Let's go with Penn State. Favorite here, San Diego State. Now, granted, I actually told you I like even more the under in that game. I do think San Diego State is the better ball club. I like the matchup that they have. I think they do win and win by margin. I'll take them at a -4.5. The over, Utah State, Missouri, two teams that really get after on tempo, have very good offenses. I think we see some points in that game. 155, no slouch. You're not getting a bargain there. So both of these teams certainly going to have to approach into the 70s to give yourself a realistic shot. I think they do that. My under, Houston and Northern Kentucky. 121.5 sounds ridiculous. Have you seen the defense for Houston and what they can do to other teams? Both teams on a neutral court, maybe a little bit of nerves here. That's going to lean me to the under. Not to say that Houston can't score. I just don't think Northern Kentucky is going to be able to hold up their end of the bargain. Talking about scoring, Alabama's team total over 89.5. They're going to get up and down and knock 3-point shots down. If one team's going to let you shoot at volume, one team wants to take volume from three, Alabama is going to get a lot of easy looks too, running up and down the court today, and they certainly a mismatch. How about this prop bet? Andrew Funk, Penn State University, over 2.5 3-point shots made at a -120. So he's got to make 3 3-point shots today. If you take a look at the way he shoots them, the last game didn't shoot him very well. I don't think he even made a 3-point shot, but the 5 games previous before that, at least 2 3-point shots knocked down. He is going to have a nice day against A&M as they pull up the victory, and he's going to be a part of that here.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there. For me, the underdog spot is Howard, +22.5. Kansas has been terrible when laying 20+, covering just one of those 5 games in that spot. My favorite goes right with your team total of Alabama laying 23.5. We have seen A&M Corpus Christi play 3 games against real teams, and they were absolutely dismantled in all of those with no covers, and Alabama will be the best team by wide margin that they have played this season, laying the 23.5. And over the Furman team total, 63.5. Virginia this season, 6 games against teams that are inside the top 40 in offensive efficiency. All 6 of those games saw the opponent team total get over. Iowa-Auburn under 151.5. Auburn this season in 4 games against teams that are inside the top 22 in offensive efficiency have seen the under cash in all 4 of those basketball games. Auburn does not let you get out and run in this exact same fashion here. We play the under, and for the props, you know we had to get the 3-point shots cooking here. Viscovi, 3+ made threes. Jalen Wilson, 2+ made threes. That's a Thursday. We're not done just yet. You make sure that you listen up right here. Donnie will close out the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment today for a Thursday edition of the Early Line. Donnie, Kevin here, SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network, bringing that heat because today it is tournament time. It's going to be so much fun to watch. But before you do that, make sure you keep watching on the Sports Grid Network next, the morning after with Ben Stevens. And also, K-Dub will be a part of that show over the first hour. A lot more information to get to as the clock counts down to right around noontime and tip-off of the tournament. A lot of hot topics we went over today. So look, it's still the tampering period, which actually ended yesterday, but are the Jets and the Packers tampering here, trying to get Aaron Rodgers over to the New York Jets? What's the compensation will be? When will that deal be finalized as we sit here and wait? And also, Los Angeles Lakers, come on now. You can lose to the Houston Rockets last night. And yes, we brought up the MVP race in the NBA. Joel Embiid closing hard and fast. And now the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook to be MVP. But today we dress up for. It feels like the first day of school. It's joy all over the place. Why is that? It's tournament time. Listen up. It starts around noon. It doesn't end till around midnight. These next 2 days, Thursday and Friday, are something we live for on the sports calendar. Should be a national holiday. People playing hooky, trying to watch the games, getting their pool done. I can't imagine the amount of work that actually goes on in some people's cubicle today as you are waiting to see if an upset is going to take place or your team is going to advance. There are a lot of games all the way through, but people hear me out on this when you're gambling. I coined this moniker just a few years back. Take the points and pray. Everybody is good here. You're just looking to survive in advance. If you're getting 4.5, 5.5, or 6.5, the other team doesn't care. Win by one or two, they're happy. They're dancing and moving on here. I learned that fact a long time ago. If you're looking at games, make sure you're looking at teams to take the points here. Have some fun. Get after it. The best place to be is right here on the Sports Grid Network. As we said, we got you covered, wall-to-wall coverage. Make sure you keep it here on SiriusXM channel 159. But that'll do it for today's edition of The Early Line. I can't wait for the tournament. I know you can't either. Stay tuned. Matt Stevens coming up next on The Winning Hand.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.